Now that the 2025 summer window has officially slammed shut, this week on Hit the Target, powered by Hollywood Bets, we unpack the biggest signings, surprise deals, and the final day drama from the Premier League's top clubs in our full transfer roundup. I'm joined in studio by English Premier League analysts Mark Stradom and Nigel Nika. Gents, welcome.
Good morning, guys. Good to be here again.
How's it, gents? Great to be here.
Liverpool were undoubtedly the biggest spenders of the summer, with their total outlay exceeding £400 million. Nige, they broke the British transfer record to sign Swedish striker Alexander Isak from Newcastle for a staggering £125 million.
Yeah, great coup for them. Arguably the best striker in the world joining the champions. I think he's going to hit the ground running there. Top business from Liverpool. I mean, if the best players in the world are available, you break the bank for them and make your team even better.
You mentioned the best players in the world being available. We know he wasn't really available, but Newcastle were forced in selling him, of course, after Alexander Isak went on a bit of a rant. How do you think that situation unplayed for both outfits?
It's not great to see, but at the end of the day, you want to give the player the benefit of the doubt to go on and further his career at another club if he wants to. You don't want the player sulking at the club. Get the best deal out of for both parties. Newcastle got 135 million or 130 million to invest in other players. So yeah, I think in all, it's great for both parties.
Mark, who do you think Arne Slot is going to prefer to lead this Liverpool line? We know he's already bought the likes of Hugo Ekitike from Eintracht Frankfurt for a reported £80 million.
This is a huge headache, but a good one. Bringing in all these quality players, I think for now, Ekitike will lead the line until Isak is up to speed. We know he hasn't been playing much football, but I think as time goes on, he will be the preferred number one. He's a proven Premier League player. He was second best in top goal scorer last season. We know what he can do. We know the capabilities, the skill, off the ball, running. I think he's a complete striker. And like Nigel said, I think the best striker in the world. So as time goes on, I think we'll see the best of Isak, because I think he scored something like, if I'm not mistaken, 54 goals in 86 games for Newcastle. And that's with Newcastle. So with better players at Liverpool, the way they play, how they're playing now at the moment, I think the best is yet to come from Isak.
I wouldn't exactly say Ekitike is a downgrade. I mean, the man has scored on his debut as well as assisted against Bournemouth. And then he followed that up with a smart finish shortly after the second half resumed against a very difficult Newcastle outfit.
No, definitely he's a quality player. I think Ekitike starts in any team away from Liverpool. He's a proper player. He's got his first call up into the national squad as well. I won't say he's hit the ground running as yet, but he's showed glimpses of the quality he has. So it's not a downgrade to say that, but I think he'll have to fight for his position.
All right. Well, the other £100 million went on German playmaker Florian Wirtz. Now, we know what Wirtz can do. We've seen him on the international stage rather, for Germany, as well as Bayern Leverkusen in the Bundesliga. What have you made about his impact at Liverpool so far?
I don't think he's come out yet. I think he's still adjusting. He needs to adapt. I think the physicality of the Premier League is a problem, and coming with that price tag, obviously the pressure will be on his shoulders. It will have more attention, and I think the players in the Premier League are targeting him as well. They know what he's capable of. They know what he can do if he has the time that he had in the Bundesliga, because he has the eye for passes. He has skill. He's good with carrying the ball. So if you allow him time, I think he will kill teams off. So I think as they come into the league, teams are preparing for players like that. So I think it's just about adjusting and finding his way in the team and playing between the lines, which won't take a lot of time. So he has the quality, and we will see it coming soon.
All right. Well, in a busy deadline day, Liverpool saw Harvey Elliott move to Aston Villa on loan. Nige, do you think that was the right move for the player as he looks for first-team football?
Yeah, no doubt. He's a quality player. And then to go and get minutes at a top Premier League club. It's a good decision for him. The midfield is stacked at Liverpool, so you don't blame him. Can he go and get some good minutes and show his potential at Villa?
Yeah, we've seen what he can do as well, donning the national jersey for England under-23s, if I'm not mistaken. Of course, winning the championship.
Yeah, and he was good in that tournament as well. Excellent player. Got a great shot on him. Links play well. And I think he can do well for Villa under Unai Emery, definitely.
All right. Well, looking at the Liverpool defence, a last-minute deal for defender Mark Gueye from Crystal Palace collapsed. Mark, I actually think you've got a bit of an update for us to share there.
Yeah, I'm actually glad it didn't go through. I think if Liverpool get him, their team is complete to take on every tournament available. What Arne Slot is trying to build is actually scary for the Premier League. They have two of the best players in every position, if not more. So unfortunately for him, his deal didn't work through. I believe Glasner didn't have a replacement in time, and that's why the deal didn't go through. So he will have to stay and then hopefully get his dream move in January.
Arsenal had a record-breaking summer with a net spend that was their highest in the Premier League. The Gunners brought in 8 new recruits, with their total spend reaching over £250 million. Nige, a true statement of intent from Arteta.
Yeah, no doubt. I think the club have definitely backed him now. Like Mark said, Liverpool have 2 players, if not 3, in every position. I think Arsenal are close to that now. I think there's not many gaps in the squad, with a lot of quality as well. So, look, I don't think Arteta has many excuses now. It's deliver silverware and see where you go after being backed so well.
Arteta has his man in Victor Gyökeres. After a summer transfer window saga, the Gunners finally landed him. Mark, what have you made about Victor's arrival at London?
Oh, he's definitely an exciting player. We've seen what's his record at Sporting. Incredible numbers as a striker. But coming to England is a different animal. I think it just takes time to adjust. The speed is different. The physicality is different. So I think it's just a matter of time and adapting to his surroundings and just working well with his players. I think for now, he's been decent. He's showed a few glimpses in the games he's played of what he can do. He holds the ball up well. He runs off the ball, which Arsenal have been missing for a few years. So I think as time goes on, he will adapt more and the best will come out of him.
All right. So it will be criminal of me not to unpack a bit of that Liverpool Arsenal headline fixture from the final round of fixtures ahead of the international break. From what I saw, Noni Madueke was the only Arsenal player that took that game by the scruff of the neck and really forced his way down that flank, winning the battle over Kirkes on more than one occasion. What did you make about the head-to-head encounter there?
Yeah, I agree with you, Desh. I think he's a lot better coming off the right-hand side. He did take Kirkes down the line a few times. He showed good speed. His point of attack was good. His intent was good. He was direct. Unfortunately, it's still early days. I think he will gain confidence as time goes on and build himself and gain trust from his teammates, because you could see a lot of the build up play was hesitant. They gave him over the top, but as time goes on, it will build up and Arteta is also building a good team. Like Nigel said, is that the quality now coming off the bench is what they needed. So going into a long season, Champions League, all these extra games, it's all going to pay off soon. So I hope it all works out for them.
On the day, there was a Premier League debut for Arsenal in the sense of Eberechi Eze got his start in the colours of the red and white. £60 million from Crystal Palace. Where does he exactly fit into Arteta's 11?
It looks like he'll be probably playing on the left for now. Maybe take over Martinelli's spot. I think that's the most likely. Maybe later on in the season, he might move to the center, surpass Odegaard's position. But let's not rule out Odegaard. But as he has a quality to do that, he has a quality to play on the right as well. So definitely a top player, top addition to the Arsenal side, and a player that we've been missing in terms of creativity and just all-round ability to go past a man. Mm.
On deadline day, Arsenal saw a number of departures, including the likes of Jakub Kivior, Fabio Vieira, Zinchenko and Albert Sambi Lunkonga. What did you make about the clearing of the squad?
Yeah, I think they did really well to get these players off the books in the last day or two of the window. You don't want to go into a season with lots of players moaning about game time, not making the squad. So you need competition to... two players in every position. They did well to get these players off, get some game time as well, elsewhere. So yeah, I think all in all, great for both players and the club.
Okay, moving things along, Manchester City made some key changes, particularly in goal. Long-time City goalkeeper Edison has moved on to Fenerbahce, whilst the club has re-signed James Trafford from Burnley, as well as Italy's Gianluigi Donnarumma from PSG.
Yeah, what a massive change. What a good goalkeeper. But I still don't understand why they let go of Edison. I think he could still play another good 2-3 seasons, especially with the type of goalkeeper he is and how Guardiola likes to play out from the back. I think he's in the world maybe the best to do it in that style. So, well, he's gone on to Fenerbahce. They brought in Donnarumma. We saw what he did in the Champions League last season. He's a shot stopper. I think maybe one of the best, if not the best, goalkeeper right now. So bringing him in is a massive statement. They needed him. I think young keeper James Trafford has had a bit of a shaky start to the season. So bringing in Donnarumma was a good choice. Can he play the Pep style? I think that's going to be the biggest question around Donnarumma right now.
Yeah, well, the alarm bells have certainly gone off, considering they've conceded in back-to-back league outings to go with their back-to-back league defeats. I mean, just one win from their opening three league games, it doesn't bode well.
I think for City, everybody's preparing for them. I think with all their dominance and the way they play their football, teams are studying their game style and preparing and coming up with game plans to attack City in a way that benefits them, because we know that they're going to dominate possession. We know the quality of players they have. So teams are allowing them to have possession and catching them on the counter-attacks. And I think their defense has been not up to standard at the moment. So there are cracks in the City team, and teams are taking advantage like we saw against Brighton.
Do you think the same can be said about their midfield? I mean, we looked at the likes of Tijani Reynders, who had a sensational debut in Manchester City's 4-0 rout over Wolves, but he didn't really follow that up against Brighton and Tottenham Hotspur. You also look at Ryan Cherki, who's now been ruled out for about 2 to 3 weeks, so we're still waiting on official confirmation there.
Yeah, I think he starts it off well, like you said, but I think it's just about adapting. Rodri's back. Foden is out. Ryan Cherki played one game. He scored. He is out. So there's no consistency in the team. And if you want to find results and the team to gel, you need to be consistent, especially with your lineup and who you pair up with in those positions. With Rodri back, I think they'll be happy. So that will allow Reynders to move forward. They still have I think embarrassment of riches in that team. I think it's just for Pep. I don't know if Pep is losing the love for the game or what it is, but it's not looking the usual Pep team or how they play, but something needs to happen, especially coming from Haaland. I think Haaland has been very weak at the moment. It's not looking the same Haaland that won the Golden Boot 2 or 3 seasons ago. So something definitely needs to happen. They need a spark from somewhere, and it needs to be urgent because it's not looking good at the moment.
Well, veteran midfielder Ilkay Gundogan departed for Galatasaray, bringing an end to his second spell with the club. Nige, a lot of experience walking out the door there, including that string of incredible performances in their treble-winning season.
Yeah, Gundogan is one of the best players in the world. Might be aging and coming to the end of his career a bit. But yeah, quality in the midfield. Such a good player. Goal scoring as well adds it to the team. So I think it'll be a big miss. Can they replace that with Reyners and with Cherki coming in? Maybe Mamouche with the goals in midfield. We'll have to see.
Well, next up for Pep's outfits is the Manchester Derby. Now, United under new manager Ruben Amorim has undergone a significant squad overhaul. over £200 million in a few signings. It looks like they've chosen quality over quantity. Has it been quality so far?
Not really, to be honest. It was really, really slow start to the Premier League. And then to go and back it up with that performance against Burnley, I mean, this is Manchester United. You don't want to be put into a position where you have to win the game in the last minute against newly promoted outfit like Burnley. But then again, look, they've got the win. Confidence is a little higher now than before. Can they go and back it up against City? That's the difficult question.
Well, look, Sesko has got some minutes under his belt. Cunha has looked sharp for the most part. And then Mbeumo has opened his account for the club. So it's looking like the project is there.
Yeah, offensively. I think defensively, they're still struggling. Look, Amorim is a good coach. We saw the job he did at Sporting in Portugal. Tactically, very good. I think he's a man-to-man coach. He knows how to get the best out of his players, but it seems like something is not clicking at United. You go from the performance against Arsenal on day one, you go and lose to Grimsby, and then you struggle against Burnley and win off a penalty. They haven't scored a goal this season. So something needs to happen at United. They have the players. They've brought in the quality. They've backed him. They've got rid of a few bad apples. So I think it's time for him or the players to now step up and play for the badge instead of the name in the back.
Yeah, I think speaking of those bad apples, we need to actually look at the number of players United have allowed to leave the club, starting with Marcus Rashford, the former number 10 jersey holder of the club, now at Barcelona. Rasmus Højlund joining Napoli on loan. Alejandro Garnacho making a permanent move to Chelsea for £40 million. A lot of talent there.
Oh, definitely a lot of talent. But I don't think those players are working in Amorim's plans. I don't think Højlund was ever going to get minutes once they bought Sesko. Marcus Rashford, we knew it was bad from the beginning. He was never going to play. He got a good move to Barca. Garnacho, it looks like him and Rashford were in the same boat. So making a permanent move to Chelsea and what they're building there is good for him. Anthony, unfortunately, came in for big money and gone to Betis on a permanent as well. So I don't know if this is good business, because those players, I think, could help a few of them. In some games, they could have come on and help United, because I do think they're a bit stretched in terms of quality coming off the bench. So is it good for Amorim? I'm not sure, but something really needs to happen before he sees himself out the door.
Yeah, actually, if you look at the Man United wingers that they have currently, it doesn't necessarily bode for happy reading. I mean, we know Diallo is there, Amad Diallo is there. You've got Mason Mount as well playing in a wide position. But when you have some of the world's best wingers at one stage, shall I say, you must be pulling out your hair.
Yeah, I mean, the recruitment really is a bit strange for me. I think, especially considering the gaps in the United team heading into the season, I think in midfield they were very light. No CDM or no like hard-hitting man who's going to break the play unless you have Casemiro. And then you look at the question marks over Andre Onana. So yeah, look, I don't think they've addressed those issues that they were had coming into the season, and they've splashed going forward. So, look, is it going to be more of the same? I hope not, but it really is not good reading.
Are they still under a transition phase with Ruben Amorim at the helm? Because there has been a lot of work, a lot of squad rejuvenation being done. He does look like he has his strongest 11, or at least his core 11, in the likes of, you know, Patrick Dogu is there, Bruno Fernandes, we mentioned Casemiro and Diallo. That's a strong spine of the team.
Yeah, look, it does look like it. But then again, you go back to Ruben Amorim's tactics and you look at the other bigger teams, whereas United will have Dogu and Diallo in the higher positions on the wings. Other teams like Arsenal have Saka and Madueke, and Liverpool have Salah and Cody Gakpo.
Sounds like a bit of a mismatch.
Yeah, 100%. I think you've got to get your best players closer to the goal and get your best players defending, doing their job defending. So, look, is it a flawed system? I think only time will tell.
Well, of course, we'll be here this time next week to discuss the Manchester derby. But at the outset, which way is that one going?
Look, it'd be a good time to play City, considering that they haven't started the league well. But then again, you have to consider that United haven't won back-to-back games under Ruben Amorim. Still, he's a season in. He's won against Burnley. I don't think they go to City and get a result. I think it's going to be difficult for them.
I agree with Nigel. I think City need to turn around, especially being at home. I think the crowd will get behind him. But Amorim's tactics, I don't think the players are very fond of his tactics. I think playing with a three in the back, firstly, Yoro seems like he's still trying to adapt. De Ligt, I'm not sure what's his best position. Dogo shows a lot of energy, but I think there's question marks on his defending. Diallo is not a right wing back. He's an attacking player. He's not going to take Mbumo's place. So where do you add him? Bruno definitely needs a pairing partner in the middle of the field, because I think Casemiro's legs are done. Ogarte is a walking red card. I think the only player that's really showed up so far and just landed is Cunha, which is an exceptional player. So going there to City, I think they'll be licking their lips now that they're wounded, but I'm sure Pep will demand a turnaround immediately, especially in the Manchester derby.
Can't wait for that fixture to unpack. Tottenham, led by new manager Thomas Frank, focused on strengthening their midfield and attack. After missing out on Morgan Gibbs-White and Eberechi Eze, they've secured Dutch playmaker Xavi Simmons from RB Leipzig for a reported £50 million. Do you think he's the third choice, Mark?
And I think he goes into the team. I think he's there to replace James Maddison. I think it's exactly what Spurs needed from a creativity standpoint. I think he goes straight in. They've got everybody they need. They've got Kudus, who's a workhorse. Is willing to run, scores goals, is creative. Richarlison looks like he's trying to come back to his own. Unfortunately, I think Solanke is injured at the moment. So I think Thomas Frank is doing a good job. Their defense is very good. I know they lost to Bournemouth recently, which is unfortunate after the win from City. But I think Thomas Frank is building a good team. I'm very happy they've backed him fully. He's brought in the players that he wants. And I think they should continue that way, because he is a good coach. And I think it's an exciting season for Spurs. We saw what they did against City, and it's just a matter of being consistent now.
They've got the signings of Randall Colomwani and Matthias Tell over the line. Do you think that France forward duo is going to be the answer to the Spurs attack?
Colomwani, first, is a good player. Secondly, how quick can he adapt, just like every other good striker that comes into the Premier League, is the big question. He's a good runner. He scores goals. Just a matter of adapting for me, I think. Going into the system, learning the system, getting along with his players and building relationships will be the answer to that.
All right. Next up, we've got Newcastle United, who had a whirlwind of a transfer window centered around the departure of their star striker, Alexander Isak. Nige, in response, they've broken their own club record to sign German striker Nick Woltemade from Stuttgart, as well as Johan Wiese from Brentford. They look like they're stacked with options now.
Yeah, no doubt. I think two quality signings. They were chasing a few forwards in the transfer market, trying to make up for Isak's departure. But yeah, I think in Wiese, they've got a real good coup there. Might have overpaid for him, in my opinion, but let's see, can he deliver? He scored a lot of goals last season in a average Brentford team. So let's see if he can deliver now. And look, Woltemade is as a Newcastle striker in the mold of his physicality. So can he hit the ground running? Let's see.
He reminds me of the likes of Andy Carroll, who played for Newcastle, of course, some years ago. That really tall, imposing centre forward that might just be your answer from set pieces.
Yeah, no doubt. And if you look at Eddie Howe's teams, they're very physical, they're very big. So I think he'll fit the team like a glove. It's just now, can he score goals in the Premier League and replace the goals that Isak left from last season?
Yeah. Of course, it's going to be very difficult to replace a player like Alexander Isak. But Mark, two signings over the line. Do you think that they've got a sort of bond between them so far?
100%. I think Vusa is a good signing. He scored, I think, 20 or 22 goals last season. And with no penalties. Mm-hmm. Those are no penalties. So those are goals. I think with the way Newcastle play, I think he's going to score more goals. The Voldemort, I think, I don't want to speak too early on it, but he's going to be some player. I know he's young. He's got exceptional ball skills. He's good with the ball. He's a dribbler for that size that he is. And to have that much skill, there's something inside of that player. How Eddie Howe gets it out of him or what he does to unlock that potential is up to him, but there is something inside of that play for sure.
Okay, we're going to round things off with Aston Villa. Dismally, the Villains are yet to find the back of the net in the Premier League this season. They're the only club yet to open their account. However, Unai Emery decided against signing a conventional striker. What do you think he's got up his sleeve?
A bit of a strange one there. I think if Watkins gets injured, they're in a bit of trouble. They will have to reshuffle the formation and move players around. We do know that Emre is tactically very good. His teams play very good football, but I think players have been hard to come by. They have brought in Harvey Elliott, which is a good player to bring in, especially with creativity. I think he's going to bring a different dimension to the attack. And also Sancho. I know there's been a lot of talk about Sancho and his attitude and his performances, but if we go back to Dortmund and see the way he performed, if somebody or some coach can bring that Sancho out, they have a player on their hands.
Do you think Unai Emery is going to be that player? Because you also look at the profile of Harvey Elliott, a strong, compact, tough tackling, box-to-box midfielder.
Only time will tell, honestly. I think Emery, in my experience with Arsenal, in his second season, was dismal, honestly. The opposition caught up with his tactics, and if he doesn't invest, it looks like they sold a lot of players recently. John Duran going,
Jacob Murphy to Newcastle.
So they've brought in the cash. It's just, why not invest it into your squad? In a team that looked on the up, getting almost Champions League last season as well. So it's a bit of a strange one, and I think pressure on Unai Emery, definitely.
You look at the likes of Marcus Rashford and Marco Asensio signing for the Villains on loan last season. It looked like they went for a very specific caliber of player. Experience, European ambitions, and just out and out centre forwards.
Yeah, two good coups. They finished the season well for them as well. I think Rashford was in good form for them. But then to lose them and then not replace them, because Sancho is a bit of a different player compared to them. They both can run in behind. Sancho wants it to feed, so look, can he change it around? Let's see. They are an exciting team to watch on their day, so let's not rule it out.
Aston Villa find themselves in 19th place, only above 20th place Wolves. They've got fixtures up against Everton, Sunderland and Fulham in September. Can they turn it around?
Yeah, definitely winnable fixtures there, and I think they'll earmark it, definitely. Can they push through it? The Premier League is a different beast, so I think the quicker you do it, the better. They'll be targeting the first one, definitely.
All right. Well, football fans, you've heard it right here from English Premier League analysts Mark Stradom and Nigel Nyker with their full transfer window recap. It's been a pleasure unpacking all things Premier League related to you gents. Until we meet again next weekend. Cheers.
Thanks, Dish. Thanks, guys.
Shout, gents. Cheers.